You are listening to EFT Unleashed, exploring EFT, inner repatterning, and other innovations to creating health, wealth, and happiness. By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to our disclaimer, which can be found at www.eftunleashed.com/disclaimer. If you would like to listen to our other shows or subscribe to the free EFT Unleashed newsletter, please visit www.eftunleashed.com. Now, welcome to the EFT Unleashed host, Tanya A. Prince.
Hi, I'd like to welcome Emma Roberts to my podcast. So welcome, Emma.
Hi, Tanya.
Now, Emma, you do an awful lot of work in the area of cancer. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, goodness, where would I start? So I started off working at a charity called The Haven, Breast Cancer Haven, which has got centres in Leeds, Herefordshire and London. I started off running individual sessions there for people. They're a charity that offers complementary therapies for free to anybody with a diagnosis of breast cancer or its secondaries. And that gave me enormous amount of experience because I was working, you know, hours and hours and hours on end with lots of different people. And now I ended up running groups there because I felt that that was a more useful, more practical way of teaching people the tapping, because actually you'd need so many individual sessions to actually cover all the aspects surrounding a cancer diagnosis that it's better for people to work with themselves and have that sense of empowerment. I also wrote a book on this, which has kind of what works as a guideline for them, even though I have cancer, which is available on Amazon or on our website. Which is the aim of that is to give people guidelines in all sorts of different areas that can be affected by a cancer diagnosis and the trauma that that brings with it, for people to get a framework within which to work on themselves using the tapping, because the tapping is the one thing that people with a cancer diagnosis can actually do and get positive change for themselves with.
Yeah, and when you say positive change, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about reduction in fear, anxiety, symptom management, side effects of chemotherapy. Very often see, you know, nausea reduced, people having to have ports put into them because they're having collapsed veins through needles of chemotherapy. Very often the veins seem to be able to rebuild themselves. I'm not sitting here saying we can cure cancer, absolutely not. But from my belief perspective, cancer is a multi-dimensional, multi-causal disease. And to be able to get a handle on any part of it, I think is incredibly empowering for the person with the diagnosis, for the patient. And also, the calmer you can be with any form of treatment, the calmer the doctor's like you to be, the more effective the treatment is likely to be. So from that perspective alone, stress management is extremely powerful. But there's so much more I think it can do.
Yeah, and I think it's important just to point out, I think from a legal perspective, it's actually illegal to say you can cure cancer.
Yes, I absolutely don't believe that that's the case with pure EFT. I think EFT is one modality that can help enormously in the process and help maybe facilitate drug treatment, but also help put you in a place and a frame of mind whereby it's more likely to be effective. But absolutely no way would I say that it cures it. And I've got no experience of anybody just using EFT and nothing else anyway, so I'd have no basis for that.
No, I wasn't coming from that point of view. I just say for a legal perspective, that is the case. However, you brought us some really interesting points there, and I want to break it down into the elements that you brought up. Well, one thing you said, you know, it can help with the symptoms, you know, of the treatment process. So can you go through what symptoms? You went through a bit there, but let's get it even more clear what you've used this on symptom-wise for people who've been going through the treatment process of cancer.
Well, symptoms are so wide, so various, it's quite hard to put it in a nutshell. But things like pain management, pain after surgery, healing after surgery, wound healing, things like the nausea from chemotherapy that you can get, the tiredness, the burning from radiotherapy that often happens, seems to be able to reduce that quite substantially. Seems to be a combination of visualization and tapping. When those are used together, the body seems to follow, and I'm not saying that it follows to the extent of suddenly a tumour will disappear, but in my experience, from the external factors that we can see and check and know that nothing else apart from the tapping is being used for, it changes things. It changes the veins, as I said earlier. It can change nausea. It can change your whole effect of how you respond to treatment. For instance, in breast cancer, Following treatment, people very often put on 5 years of a drug called tamoxifen. This can have really unpleasant side effects, so much so that a lot of people just stop taking it. Now, research shows that those that do take tamoxifen for 5 years post-treatment have a much higher statistical, higher rate of, I could use the word cure, but healing, than those who stop halfway or who don't take it. So it's important that people do continue to take these drugs. Now, if you can manage the side effects to those drugs, and then I say manage, I mean self-manage, which are things like nausea, tiredness, tingly feet, all sorts of weird and wacky sensations. If you can manage those things through tapping, then the likelihood is that you'll continue to take the drugs and therefore give yourself statistically much higher percentage chance of a long life.
All right. So, you know, for those who are not that familiar with how you would set that up in EFT, you know, there will be people of a very big range of knowledge here listening into this. So just for the tingling sensations in the feet, could you just go through the statement they would need to tap on to deal with that?
Well, as with any physical issue, any physical symptom, you've got to have three, there are three rules really. You've got to be very specific about location. Sue and I talk about, you need to describe the location as you would putting a postcode on a letter. It's the same thing. If you just say, I've got, you know, somewhere in my feet, feet are fairly specific, you're likely to say it's equivalent to North London, whereas if you say this point at the beginning of my left middle toe, that's like putting the postcode on. So you might say, even though I've got this tingly sensation just there in the middle of my foot, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. The other thing is the quality. Well, we've got tingling there, so that's the quality already. So, and you want to actually give it a rating on our subscale, a 0 to 10 scale of intensity, just from a personal point of view, so that you can follow your work. Because often when something's gone, you forget that it was there in the first place or how intense it was. So it's quite a good validation.
Yeah, because there's nothing like a bit of success with what you're doing to really buoy you up and make you go forward and motivate you to continue to do it, is there really?
No, absolutely. I mean, you've got to get it on the inside. It's all very well for everybody, like, you know, like me and like you, and who've seen it and witnessed it and experienced it loads of times, to sit there and bat on about it. But actually, you've got to get it on the inside. You've got to try it for yourself and really get it. And I think, you know, some people do that and have bad experience, and it's because they haven't got the right toolkit. They've been told, they've been shown the tapping points, maybe on YouTube or something, but they don't know the subtleties about applying it. And that's the real key thing in making it work, I think. And that's what I know, that's what you teach, that's what Sue and I teach, that's what I've written in my book. It's absolutely key, and it's in the language.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people who think they can do EFT, because unless you know how much there is there, unless you've really got that vast experience, you know, you might think you're doing EFT because you're tapping. But what you're saying here is, and what we both agree on, you really, there is an art and skill to really getting good results with this. And if you're tapping on what you just said there, you're more likely to get a result than if you do a broad tapping on, even though I've got this in my foot.
And the other thing is to think about whatever the symptom is or the side effect. How do you feel about it? So even though I'm really pissed off because this is happening in my foot, or even though I hate the tamoxifen, because the idea is to turn around that relationship so that it becomes a balanced one, so that you accept the drug and it's therefore its healing properties. But if you tap on going, I accept the drug and its healing properties, without having taken away the negative qualities first of the tapping, it's not going to land, as we put it. So you've got to go with the negative, which I know a lot of people don't like, in particular in the area of cancer, where everybody's full of positive affirmations.
Yeah.
You know, I see people who are absolutely, who don't dare think anything negative, but it's all bubbling there under the surface.
Well, when a person is in that place of not allowing the mind to go anywhere negative, it actually, as you just pointed out, shows probably a big fear about thinking those thoughts. And therefore, if you've got that big fear in you, that is not good.
It's not. I mean, that's just another layer that compounds this kind of the law of attraction thing. Believe me, I'm a follower of the law of attraction, absolutely, but in its right place. But to have a fear of not, well, a fear of not being positive, should I say, or if you have a negative thought, oh my God, that's going to set me back, that's just so not useful. The useful thing to do is to take that fear, look on it as an interfering thought, whatever the thought is, and to tap on that thought to change the relationship to that thought.
Yeah, and it does change. And you know, if a person's not used the EFT, you know, really they should just go out and try what you're saying here, because I think that some people's fears is that they tap on that negative thing and they reinforce that.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I have to say, when I first learned it, it did seem a bit counterintuitive until I really got it, and it makes perfect sense because we're thinking this stuff anyway. We're just not acknowledging it. When we acknowledge it as our truth, it loses its power.
Yeah, when we accept those thoughts in the first place, as you're saying, it will really diminish them anyway. But then when we tap on it, you know, it has a big, big difference to people.
Absolutely.
Now, so we're tapping on symptoms. We can tap on the symptoms of the treatment. And you mentioned some very interesting ones there, the collapsing of veins being a key thing that I remember you told me about that years ago, and I thought,
I know
that's
that
a good
one, because it happens again and again and again.
Yeah.
Every time it takes me by surprise. But anyway.
Well, yeah. You definitely got to have your EFT toolkit for that one. That one in and of itself is just worth knowing.
You do. And I mean, you'll find that, I mean, in that, should I describe that particular? What you tend to find is that after a number of chemotherapy sessions, people normally have to do it for about 6 weeks, sometimes a lot more than that, but on average, I'd say 6 weeks, so that's six sessions of chemotherapy, 2 weeks in between, if you see what I mean, or 3 weeks in between. And what happens is that, you know, the veins, because it has to be put in through a needle in a vein, the veins become less and less strong, really. And should I tell the story about my acupuncturist? You've got time for that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think people will have time for that.
Okay. Now, I was working with an acupuncturist who's actually a friend of mine and a colleague as well, but who had a diagnosis of breast cancer. And one of her main beliefs, and very powerful beliefs, was that she was taking Chinese herbs and that she needed to take those because they were very important to her healing process, along with acupuncture, EFT and various other things, alongside mainstream medicine. So she was having chemotherapy. Now, after about the third chemo, her veins started to collapse. And if you have to have a port in, which is a line put in through your chest, that they can feed the chemotherapy in intravenously that way. If you have to have a port put in, you can't apparently take Chinese herbs. I'm not quite sure why. It's something to do with the purity or the intensity, I think. Anyway, she was absolutely determined she didn't want to have this port. So I thought, I mean, this was years ago now. I've done this many times since. But when we have an experiment, let's just see. There's nothing to lose. So I asked her how she felt about her veins. And she goes, oh, they're weak and feeble. So I said, okay, so that's, I want you to tell me what you want them to be like. And she goes, I want them to be strong and robust. Okay, so visualize a strong and robust vein. Okay, she did that. And then using Pat Carrington's choices, actually, she went off and she just tapped very regularly. She set her phone alarm for the hour and she'd just do it by rote every hour, but she'd visualise the strong and robust veins and she'd be doing, even though my veins are weak and feeble, I choose them to be strong and robust. And she did this solidly, really, I have to say, for about, I think it was 2 weeks. And when she went back to the hospital, she saw the same nurse. And the first thing that nurse said to her was, wow, you've got strong and robust veins. And it was just so bizarre because, you know, robust isn't really a word you apply to veins. So ever since then, and she didn't have to have a port and didn't for the rest of her treatment. But ever since then, you know, in the groups and things, we've applied this to people and we just get countless, countless reports back. You know, another one is, even though my veins are shy, even though they're scared of the needle, it's all about saying it as you feel it without judging yourself as to whether it sounds stupid or whatever. Just say it as it is and visualize the positive outcome. And the body does seem to follow. I'm not going to say in every single case, but in the vast majority, that's what happens. I find it fascinating.
I would link that when you're saying, I choose for it to be this. It's like setting an intention, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And there's a lot of research out there on the power of our intentions when we set very clear intentions, you know. So I think from that angle alone, you could see how that would influence the healing process.
Absolutely. And the power of prayer as well. Some really interesting research come out in that.
Oh, I love that. I love reading all this research. It really buoys you up, doesn't it?
Well, once it's stopped doing your head in, yes.
Oh, yeah. I like the readable research.
Magic.
Yeah. But yeah, that power of intention is very powerful when it comes to creating change within us, you know.
And I don't know if we've got any therapists who are listening to this. I'm assuming that we have got some practitioners. I do think that the intention of the practitioner or the therapist is all important as well. Really, really important.
I once was told you'll only get as far as your therapist believes you can.
Yes, I'm sure that's very true. Sure, that's true. I haven't heard that before, but that makes perfect sense to me. Yeah.
So what you want to do is check out your therapist's belief structure before you actually work with them, I would say, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Give them a good grilling.
Yeah. I'm personally of the belief I'm always open to the possibilities, wherever. I'm very open on that. So I'm
absolutely,
guessing,
me yeah. too. And I love being surprised.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a very powerful place to be as a therapist because it opens up for what can happen.
I do think that there's an arrogance in assuming that we know. We don't know. There's so much more going on than we know. Things happen in weird and wonderful ways, well beyond our basic knowledge as human beings. So, and I think that's really exciting. We have to open the door for that to happen. I always think that in any session, it's between the therapist, the client, and then something other than. And whether you call that God, love, higher power, universe, it doesn't really matter what label you put on it.
No.
That's what's there, feeding it. Not. It's not about the therapist, really.
Yeah.
Apart from the therapist allowing.
Yes, and I think when you have a belief structure such as open to possibilities in a very kind of curious kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely. Magic happens all the time. I mean, if you told me 15 years ago when I started using the tapping that I would witness the things that I've witnessed with it, I would have, well, I'd have been interested, but I would have thought, no, not really. My belief structure and everything has changed so much, and that is purely through EFT, actually. I was a therapist before then, but nothing's been as dramatic as this.
Yeah, so I think, you know, just as key points for people listening, if a person's been diagnosed, you're definitely looking to get that person, if you're working with someone who has a belief structure that supports helping you in a really good way. That's important, I think.
Yeah, I think it's very important, really, really important. And, you know, and they're not a rarity anymore. They used to be, I think, but not no longer. I mean, you and I both train a lot of people, and I can name a large amount of people who've been coming from the same place that I'm coming from now.
Absolutely. And the other thing for anyone who's going through that experience, emotional key moments, traumas, what would you say, which points would they need to begin to target with the EFT? What would you suggest as an initial thing for a person to do?
Well, the initial thing would be to target the actual diagnosis. And then once you've kind of cleared the diagnosis, the trauma around it, and I'm not going to say that it's going to feel okay and wonderful. It's not. Of course it's not. It's always going to be something you'd rather not have had. But once you can feel more or less neutral about it, as neutral as possible, then moving on. I tend to do it, because I'm always slightly up against the clock with this work. I tend to do it by looking, first of all, for any traumas in the last 5 years. And when I say traumas, I mean things like redundancies, death, divorce, accidents, those sort of things, times when your breath is knocked out of you. I mean, when it's sort of something which just takes your breath away. I don't know if you've noticed when you work with clients who've suffered extreme trauma, they very often stop breathing when they're
talking. Yeah.
I think it's the same, you know, I think it's the same thing. So what I look for is those sorts of traumas. And I should just add here that it does not mean if you've experienced this that you're going to get a cancer diagnosis. There's lots of other things that go into the mix, but this could possibly be a part of it. I will then look to see whether that those feelings remind them of anything at earlier times in their lives.
So we're getting at the very deep core stuff, and
yeah,
that's what you're saying, you know.
Yeah.
If we pull back then to the cancer diagnosis, you say take out the cancer diagnosis. Go into more detail on that so people can follow this clearly.
Okay, well, what you want to do is go to the moment, you know, because in a cancer diagnosis, you've got usually tests and biopsies and various meetings and hospitals before you actually get a diagnosis. So as a therapist, you don't want to make an assumption that the actual diagnosis is the worst bit of that. But you want to get, you want to ask your client to kind of look at all that time and then take themselves to the, ask them, what was the worst bit of that? What's the bit of that that gets you the most when you think about it now? Now, let's just supposing that is the diagnosis. The time they might say, well, that was when the consultant told me. So you ask them to make that. I'd use the movie technique with that usually. Ask them to make that into a mini movie, put it on the wall opposite them, and zoom in to the actual bit of it, which can often just be a matter of seconds. It could be just the words or the voice tone or the look on a partner's face when they're told it. It could be anything. And you want to start tapping with that. So even though he said that.
Yeah, that's quite direct as well. Language, even though he said that, is very direct language.
It's, absolutely. You can't afford to mess around with this stuff. You've just got to go for it. And, you know, actually, it probably sounds a lot worse than the experiences for the client, or indeed if you're working on it for yourself, you know, because you're just saying what you know anyway.
Yeah, you're just stating it as it is and was,
yeah,
you know. And the word cancer in and of itself evokes great emotion.
That certainly does, yes. Sometimes, if that's the case with the clients, and it isn't always, but sometimes I'll just play around with it, even though I can't handle that word, even though there's something about that word, everything it means to me. You know, then I might jumble around with the letters and makes planograms out of it or something, so it kind of loses its hold.
A scrambling technique.
Yeah, scrambling technique, that's the one. Thank you, you've just invented a new technique for me there.
Yeah.
I like scrambling. I think confusion is a great thing.
Well, it does. It breaks the direct connection, the association they have between the word and their emotion. You're scrambling and breaking that direct connection, and the mind does work.
Cats is also a star sign, isn't it? But nobody ever thinks of that when they hear the word cancer, do they?
No, and we mustn't forget that we're continually bombarded by messages about cancer, aren't we? Really,
we are. Yeah, we are.
You know, very subtle ones in the media, the news, etc., etc. And I think that can affect belief structures.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. I mean, I can't give you any direct experience evidence of that, but I can for things like 9/11, when everybody's watching that news again and again and again. The amount of flying phobias that came from that. You know, so I have no doubt that the media is hugely influential in our opinions. Although recently there's been a lot more positive news about cancer, it has to be said, so that's good.
Yeah, but certainly it's another avenue to follow to tap out your beliefs around this, isn't it, really?
Definitely, definitely, yes. And also just using that, using SET, Steve Wells and David Lake's continual tapping on the fingers as well. And so there's a place for both. You know, you can be just tapping your fingers without actually tuning into anything at all whilst you're walking down the street or whilst you're sitting waiting for a hospital appointment or whatever.
I think that's a very good point to make, actually, because, you know, one of the main reasons people may not tap outside of a therapy session is because they think, where do I start?
Yeah.
And what you're saying there is, you know, this SET technique developed by Steve Wells, his colleague, that technique, just tapping on the fingers, there's no need to, where do I just start? I just tap on the fingers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place for both. You've got this place for structure and this place for not unstructured, but any form of meridian stimulation at any point is better than none. You know, we're constantly being bombarded by mini T traumas as well. You know, I live in London, crossing a road in London's quite traumatic sometimes, but I wouldn't sit and tap on it. But, you know, if you're tapping, you know, if you're just doing finger tapping whilst you're walking along and things, you can kind of clear the stuff as you go along.
Absolutely. And for the most part, most of us are thinking left, right and centre and generally about our problems anyway.
Well, that's put me into a dodgy place. I'm going to have to tap. Problems? What problems?
Ah, well.
The Chinese word for crisis is the same as the Chinese word for opportunity.
Is it now? Well, it is an opportunity.
How's that for a reframe?
Actually, it's a brilliant one, isn't it, really? And it is kind of an end point to this type of little chat we're having. But what I would say is I would go, anything that ever happens to you in life is an opportunity to clear stuff.
It is. It's opportunity for change, and change can be good.
Yeah, and I think that's what we leave people with, because here now, when you're tapping, you have the potential to clear stuff that has been affecting you anyway.
Mm-hmm. You do, absolutely. It's a real gift, so use it.
Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Emma. I could actually go on and on and on. There's so much more we could cover
here.
I'm
getting to you another time, maybe.
But thank you very much for being my guest. That's and awesome. So thank you to Emma Roberts, and I'll say bye-bye.
You have been listening to Tanya A. Prince on EFT Unleashed. To subscribe to our free newsletter or past shows, visit www.eftunleashed.com. Exploring EFT, inner repatterning, and other innovations to creating health, wealth, and happiness.